Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
The middle of the week, holiday week, it is July 1st, 2015. And this is a month where we celebrate the precious blood of our Lord, last month the Sacred Heart. So just keep that in mind as we move through the month of July. Looking forward to chatting with you on the program. And we will continue our discussion today on the fallout from the Supreme Court ruling regarding marriage on Friday. Also taking a look at what does this do with healthcare and other aspects of running a business, running a company. Lewis Brown from Christ Medicus is going to be back on with us at 15 minutes past the hour. So I'm really interested in speaking with him because there's all these consequences that we haven't even begun to think about because we're still reeling from the actual decision and just trying to say, okay, what does this mean for us as believers in the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith? How do we witness? How do we function in a practicality? What does this look like in the parish, in the public square? And these are questions that still have to be addressed on a continuing basis. And that's what we're going to be doing here on Catholic Connection and, of course, Crest in the Afternoon and the other fine programs on EWTN. Again, I want to, before we get into that discussion, I want to give my best to the family of a dear member of our family who passed away recently. His name is Doug Pearson. He was only 50 years old. And he died after a struggle with cancer, and what a great loss to the Catholic radio community. He was so dedicated, as I said, I believe, yesterday on my program when they actually had the funeral down in Dallas. But what an incredible gift to Catholic radio, and left behind quite a legacy, and he's already being missed. And as I said again yesterday, he was a big supporter of mine and often gave me lots of great advice, especially on the technical end of things, which is not one of my strong suits. I'm much better on the microphone than I am behind it. And tend to just have a lot of technical issues when I try to touch anything, which is why they say back away from the equipment tee. But anyway, he was a really, really great guy, wonderful husband and father. And I worked very closely with his adorable daughter, his eldest daughter, Marissa, and just really enjoyed my time working with her. And I'm feeling for our radio family this morning. So I just ask you to keep Guadalupe Radio in your prayers because the funeral was yesterday, and I'm sure the loss is just sinking in. Everything happened so fast. And if you go to the Guadalupe Radio page, they'll have more information on the wonderful life of this incredible man who really was a witness right up to the end and always talked about God's will and was not bitter and was just trying to help people understand that we have to keep our eyes always on Christ. As a matter of fact, in the obituary, it said, through Doug's final months of life, they were marked by great suffering. His most earnest prayer intention through it all was that he would seek to embrace the will of God rather than simply accept it. In his life and in his death, Doug was a profound witness to what it means to take up your cross and follow Jesus. He is greatly missed already by so many, leaving behind his beloved bride, Tricia, their 9 children and 11 grandchildren. We entrust Doug's soul to the divine mercy of God and ask above all that you would pray daily for the eternal repose of his soul. So we keep all of those folks in our prayers, and if you want to send a note to Guadalupe Radio, I'm sure they would greatly appreciate it. So, Doug, rest in peace, my friend, and well done, good and faithful servant. Again, coming up on the program this morning, we are going to be continuing our discussion regarding not only the marriage decision, but Obamacare, two very, very bad decisions that came down Thursday and Friday from the highest court of the land. And how do we live in this world, this very different world of ours, trying to give you some practical ideas. We'll continue that discussion right after the break. And then Joan Lewis joining us from Rome. What's being said, if anything, in the halls of the Vatican about what has happened in the United States of America? Of course, similar things have taken place in other major countries in the world, including Mexico and Ireland. Joan joining us also with details on the Holy Father's trip to the U.S. in September. He's also traveling again to Latin America, and she'll have more information on that as well. I found it very interesting before I get into the news. I was talking with my local listeners this morning in Michigan, Ohio, about how I'm sure many of you are feeling as if you don't have a voice and you're being attacked on Facebook as I am, which just basically comes with the territory with what I do. I just kind of let it roll off my back. But I do use the opportunity to teach the truth in love. And sometimes I'm firm, not rude, not mean, not nasty, but firm. For example, someone yesterday, when I came home last night from an event, I checked my Facebook page and my email before I went to bed, and I had posted the article about the woman, and my producer Andrew sent this to me, about a woman who quit her job. She worked in the county clerk's office, and I think it was in Pennsylvania. I forget the state now. But she said, I can't do this. I can't issue. I'm a Christian. I can't issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. And so she resigned. She's not talking to the press. She's not making a big deal about it. It got leaked out, and of course, it's gone viral now. And so I posted the story, and I said, I think this woman is showing courage. This is a tough decision. Oh, my goodness. The comments, the insults toward this woman, the insults toward me, the insults toward anyone who would raise any amount of disagreement with its decision that came out on Friday. One person even said to me, yeah, we hope you quit your job too, Teresa Tomeo, so there'll be one less conservative in the world. And so I wrote back, well, sorry, but that's not going to happen, number one. And number two, thank you for confirming your idea of tolerance, tolerating only those with whom you agree and trying to shut down everyone else. I think, in all fairness and all love and all sincerity, and this is my personal opinion, that when people start telling you to be quiet, that you nicely and firmly say, we still live in the United States of America. We still have, I don't know for how long, but we still have free speech in the First Amendment. And if they really believe, as a citizen, in open and honest debate in the public square, then they should have no problem with us discussing this, as long as we're doing it respectfully. It's that simple. It's that simple. But the goal now is to shut us down. Absolutely silence us. Because the silence to them means that they can go on and do what they want without anybody questioning them. Then it's a justification. I don't know if you heard the interview with Julie and Greg Alexander yesterday, but Julie mentioned this. She said she was off on her merry way with her career, ignoring her family, doing all kinds of things that were hurting her marriage and her own spiritual health. And she said, very few people stopped and said, you know what? We love you, and what you're doing is wreaking havoc. And this is going to have major fallout on your family and on you. This is what it means to love someone. Loving someone does not mean that we allow them to continue doing something that's bad for them. Now, obviously, and I said this again and stressed this to my local listeners, we have to know our audience. Rosa Moss used to always say when she was on Catholic Answers, now Sister Rosalind, of course, you Sister Miriam, you can't feed a baby steak. So you have to know to whom you're speaking. And maybe, of course, on Facebook it's very difficult unless you have a relationship with a person. So maybe posting articles and, you know, encouraging people to be to truly support public debate on this issue and not try to shut down someone just because they disagree with you, things like that, as I did last night, I think are fine. But again, I think we have to use a very civil and respectful tone. But loving someone means speaking the truth, and you have to kind of say, okay, where is that person at, and what's the best way to reach them? It's going to be different at different stages and for different people. That's evangelization, and our Lord was the best at that, right? Think about how he treated the Pharisees and the Sadducees because of their level of knowledge and education versus, say, the rich young man, the adulterous woman, the Samaritan woman. And so we, as we journey on, we first have to make sure that our relationship with God is solid and take the speck out of our own eye, obviously, through confession and the grace of the other sacraments. But we have to make sure that when we are witnessing to someone that we understand it a little bit. But even when you do that, and sometimes you can do it very lovingly and with the best of intentions, and it won't be well received. Because people have to make up their own mind and open their hearts, and God is going to speak to them when they're ready. You have to put it out there. And the rest is up to God. And oftentimes, probably more times than not, it's going to be rejected. And the gospel today It's funny because when I woke up this morning, Dominic and I normally do the readings before we leave for work. We didn't have a chance. We woke up late this morning, and he had to run out. And so I was telling Andrew that I was just going to talk in general in my two senses segment, which is at 8:15 Eastern time, about speaking the truth in love, but making sure that we still speak the truth and not feeling that we have to be silenced because we might offend somebody. And I hadn't read the scriptures for the day yet. And so I open up my Magnificat, and the gospel for today, coincidence I think not, is our Lord along the Sea of Galilee dealing with two demoniacs. And the demons cried out and said, "What will you have to do with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the appointed time?" So they asked Jesus, they recognized Jesus, and they asked him to throw them into the herd of pigs. Send us into the pigs. And so he does, and the pigs go into the water, and they drown. And so the townspeople hear about this, and everyone comes to meet Jesus. Now, you immediately think, if you haven't read the scripture verse before, and I remember the first time I heard it, I'm thinking, oh, they're coming to thank him because he rid the area of some pretty bad stuff. No, they wanted him to get out of Dodge. They basically said, leave. And they begged him to leave the district. Why? Well, pray about that. Think about it. Could it be they were frightened by his power and they didn't want to change their own lives? Just saying. Some food for thought. All right, we are running a little bit late. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a little bit of news, and we'll take a break about 14 minutes past the hour, and then we'll bring up Lewis Brown from Christ Medicus Foundation. So let's take a look at the news on July 1st, 2015. Well, lots of news to get through as we head to the 4th of July weekend, which is coming up, of course, the actual 4th of July holiday Saturday, work holiday on Friday. But we're still talking about the marriage issue, including Senator Ted Cruz, who continues to speak out against last week's Supreme Court ruling on Obamacare and so-called same-sex marriage.
What happened last week is twice, back-to-back, the U.S. Supreme Court, a majority of the justices, violated their judicial oath.
Speaking on the Today Show this morning, the GOP presidential hopeful saying the Supreme Court rewrote the Affordable Care Act by upholding the law's subsidies and then rewrote the Constitution by tossing out marriage laws for a number of states. Meanwhile, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee insists that even those who support the so-called same-sex marriage measure should be against the court's ruling because it removes power from voters.
They redefine marriage, something that they simply don't have the constitutional authority to do. They incredibly overstepped their bounds. They legislated from the bench. It's a form of the practice of judicial overreach.
The Republican presidential candidate also saying the high court created law out of thin air, adding there's nothing in the Constitution that gives the court authority to define marriage. A Utah man may face criminal charges after admitting he made up false reports about being the victim of gay hate crimes. Rick Jones' attorney, Brett Tolman, says the false reports were a cry for help.
He's acknowledged that he was responsible for them, which is why we've asked for the termination of the investigation, which is why he's also wanted to quickly return money that has been raised on his behalf.
Rick Jones of Delta, Utah, originally telling authorities his home had been tagged with anti-gay graffiti and he had been beaten up because of his homosexuality. Now Jones says the stories were all lies, and Millard County Sheriff Robert Decker says Jones could face serious charges for false reporting. Oklahoma's Supreme Court says a monument to the Ten Commandments at the state capitol has to go. State's Representative Mike Ritzy telling Fox News the ruling was flawed.
They only had three pages in the ruling, and I've told by the legal scholars and the attorney general here in Oklahoma that it was probably not their best work as far as the Supreme Court.
The justices ruling 7-2 that the monument violates the state's constitutional ban on the use of state property for the benefit of religion. The monument stands 6 feet tall and was paid for with private money. While the federal government is warning of possible terror attacks in the U.S. around the 4th of July holiday, counterterrorism expert Craig Gundry says that doesn't mean you should be changing your plans.
Given the fact that there's little specific information about planned attacks, I wouldn't recommend that anybody really changes their plans for the 4th of July.
Homeland Security, the FBI, the National Counterterrorism Center issuing a bulletin last week urging law enforcement across the country to monitor possible terrorist threats around the holiday. Gundry saying any time there is an increased threat level, people should be on the lookout for any suspicious activity. He adds, if you see something that looks suspicious, especially this weekend, a call to 911 will get the police involved and other agencies if needed. Just about 14 minutes past hour. It is the middle of the week, a holiday week, as a matter of fact, July 1st, 2015. When we come back, continuing on our discussion on the fallout, both of the Affordable Care Act and also the ruling on Friday, where the Supreme Court ruled that so-called same-sex marriage is now the law of the land. If you have a question, 877-573-7825. You are listening to Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. We're all about the resources. We want you to have information. We want you to not to feel alone at this important time in our nation's history and in our church's history, as a matter of fact, in the United States of America. This is always, could be our greatest hour, God willing, with his help, or it could be our worst hour. It can go either way, depending on how we react. And we react with love, we react with truth, and we react with positive action. And someone who knows all about that is our guest, Lewis Brown. He's been with us many times. You also saw him, of course, down at the March for Life, and it was great to meet him there. And it's funny because he is in Michigan, but we rarely see each other except when we're out of town because our schedules are so crazy. But anyway, he has a tremendous background. He's an attorney, former congressional staffer, former staffer for the Maryland Catholic Conference, as well as working in Congress on many important pro-life and Catholic issues. And right now he is working for the Christ Medicus Foundation and has been on top of this healthcare issue and is here to kind of look at the overall situation in terms of not only what happened on Thursday at the Supreme Court, but on Friday and what's that going to mean. Now, Lewis, I haven't spoken to you since Friday. So what are your thoughts since the decision on marriage from the Supreme Court?
Sure. I think it's a big deal. And actually, Teresa, I should say, as much as I love Michigan, I'm actually in Denver today. But yeah, I definitely wish I could see you more often. It's good to be with you. I think Mike O'Day, who's the executive director of the Christ Medicus Foundation, made a good statement. I think other folks have said this. If we hadn't had kind of the capitulation that had occurred, I think with the Stupe Act amendment failing on what became the Affordable Care Act back in 2009, if we hadn't had the infringement on our religious liberty, several years ago when the HHS mandate came out, if we hadn't had these failures in healthcare, I think it's very likely. I think it'd be going too far to say we'd have a different decision on marriage, but I think it's very likely that we wouldn't be in the exact same spot in terms of where we are today. The same-sex marriage decision in the case that came out on Friday is a juggernaut, and it's going to change everything forever. And I think that the important thing for Catholics, for mission-driven Catholics, is to do, and I'm going to be talking about this a lot, I think, over the next several months, is we have to be, there's a tendency to just want to be Jeremiah. There's a tendency to just want to be St. John the Baptist. I'm the voice of one crying out in the desert. And we are that. But we also have to be Mother Teresa. Our Lord was both the divine word. He was the word made flesh, and so he told the truth. But he also was the divine healer. And so we have to have both that love, that truth, and that mercy. On a human level, I think, Teresa, everything's going to change now. It's going to be extraordinarily difficult for Catholics and Christians to authentically practice their faith in all aspects of their life. You already see the press has moved from talking about the reality of the Supreme Court decision, and now that same-sex relationships, couples in same-sex relationships are now able to get married in all 50 states. They're now talking about how activists want to take it further, want to find other ways to continue to push their agenda, which will directly impact religious freedom, religious liberty issues. And as invidious and as awful as abortion is, the way that I think the same-sex marriage decision will impact us as a Catholic community in the United States it's going to be overwhelming over the next 50 years.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of what we're going to see in healthcare, as you mentioned, this is all connected. We can't separate the issue Thursday
sure, right.
and Friday's issue. How do you see that playing itself out, the connection between marriage, the approval of so-called same-sex marriage by the High Court, and what happened on Thursday? How do you see those two clashing in terms of our religious freedoms?
Sure, I think they're definitely related. I mean, you know, practically speaking, I know that you know there may be questions out there for folks that are employers, and I don't want to get too into the weeds on you know an employer's health insurance posture and how that would directly impact them, but most definitely. Many employers will now have requirements to provide health benefits to couples that are in same-sex relationships, so to provide spousal benefits, et cetera, and they'll be required to do that in states that didn't already legalize, that hadn't already legalized the marriage of same-sex couples. And that's a complicated issue that I will leave to moral theologians to get into, because, of course, we know that all individuals, folks that are in same-sex relationships are, of course, children of the Lord. They should have access to health care and all that. But it's just going to be – those are complicated issues of conscience, but also complicated issues of how do we love our brothers and sisters in the Lord that are struggling with those relationships and going through that while also maintaining our conscience. So doing both is going to be difficult. But that's just the tip of the iceberg, I think, of where things are going to be going. I mean, if you look at, Teresa, if you look at what happened in Indiana,
mm-hmm.
With the, you know, they were essentially just trying to pass the Federal Religious Freedom Act, it's called RFRA.
Right.
That was supported by President Clinton, supported by Republican Democrats, and you would have thought that Governor Mike Pence, had become, the worst man in the world. And he was just trying to pass something that's really already on the books federally, and it's just going to take—it's really going to take our breath away. And so we have to work really to defend conscience, both in healthcare and in marriage. It's going to be extraordinarily important.
Well, as in the case with the RFRA Act in Indiana, they were the media just picked up on the alleged discrimination, storyline and ran with it. I mean, they literally didn't question it. They didn't even look into it and investigate and see if there was actually a case where RFRA was used to discriminate against someone, especially who was in a same-sex relationship. There was not one case on the books, I don't have to tell you this, you're an attorney, where RFRA was used that way. And the background, too,
sure.
as you mentioned, in terms of being signed by President Clinton, passed by a majority of Democrats, I mean, it was very well supported. Obama, when he was in the Senate, gave it a thumbs up. I mean, so that none of that made the news except in Catholic media and other Christian or conservative media. And so this is the storyline now. And in terms of journalism, there is no more actual journalism anymore in this country. It's all propaganda in terms of the secular press.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I mean, I think it's important for your listeners, my perspective, I'm an African-American. I'm of course Catholic first. I went to historically black law school and went to Howard University for law school. So, there's some folks that think that, we have Catholics that, if it's not Fox News, they're not going to watch it. We have other Catholics that are, faithful to church teaching, but they're just not fans of Fox News. They're a little bit more left of center on certain issues. But as someone who kind of came out of a more liberal background, I'm a bit more conservative because of where we are now. But, you're right. I mean, I think a lot of the media, the mainstream media, sees themselves more as activists as opposed to reporters. And so that's going to be a challenge to break through that.
Let's take a break, Lewis, and we'll be back to take some questions from our listeners who've been really trying to sort this through as well. 877-573-7825. We'll be right back. Really appreciate your very solid questions and the concerns you've been raising over the last few days on this show and Al Crusta's program, and appreciate the fact that all of you, very proud of our listeners and our followers at EWTN, because you've been loving, you've been concerned. Yes, we're all frustrated. Yes, we're all in pain right now, but I'm just really proud of our community, Lewis, because everyone has been so, so respectful in their questions and their comments, and I think that says a lot about the body of Christ. 877-573-7825. We'd love to hear from you. Chatting with Lewis Brown, who is an attorney, former congressional staffer, worked closely with the Maryland Catholic Conference, and now currently works on the healthcare issues with Christ Medicus Foundation. Also has a lot of interest in really helping us kind of navigate these very stormy, tumultuous times and waters that we find ourselves. Sometimes we feel like we're drowning, but that's why we have to keep our eyes on the prize, Jesus Christ. You know, you said something interesting, and I was mentioning at the top of the hour and in my local hour, I call this the eternal dance because, as you said, we are called to speak the truth, but we're also called to be loving at the same time. And we have to know to whom we're speaking. Jesus always spoke the truth, but he spoke it differently depending on the level of knowledge of the person. If we read Scripture, we see how strongly he addressed the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the teachers of the law. We see how gently he dealt with the adulterous woman and the woman at the well and the hemorrhaging woman. This is our model. Jesus Christ is always our model. But sometimes I get the sense that people feel that this means they have to back away from putting the truth out there altogether.
Right. And I would have a couple of messages for folks there, you know, brother Christians, my brothers and sister Christians that are listening. A couple things. There's going to be a lot of temptations. You know, there's a spiritual battle, right? And so there's going to be a lot of temptations from the evil one. You know, for some folks to just sit there and, again, to be John the Baptist or Jeremiah, but not be Mother Teresa, not to speak to people, you know, particularly where they're at. And so we you know, you want to do all things in prudence and in the guidance of the Holy Spirit. There's also going to be the temptation, I think, and I think it's out there for a lot of young Catholics that are working in parishes and pro-life ministry and you know, working on the Hill or working in law firms or just, you know, working on the line in a factory someplace to say, you know what, thank God I don't have to talk about marriage. You know, I'd rather talk, you know, in the world we live in today, it's a lot easier to talk about abortion, other issues, or just not talk about anything at all. And that's wrong too. We have a requirement to witness, and for some of us, it would be a sin of omission to not speak the truth in our families, with our friends, and all that. I think the third thing is to really, we as Catholics, and you've talked about this before, we really have to be geared on religious liberty. We really have to understand that. One thing I would invite your listeners to go to the ChristMedicus.org website, ChristMedicus.org. Look at H.R. 940. It's the Healthcare Conscience Rights Act. We need all Catholics to be contacting their congressmen, their senators to get that legislation passed. I would also encourage you to go to, it's going to loop you to the National Committee on Human Life Amendment website, nchla.org, where you can contact your legislators. Practically speaking, and just, you know, I'm not trying to scare Catholic community, but people don't think that this stuff's coming. I think, you know, I was on the phone yesterday with the executive director of D.C. Catholic Conference, Teresa, a guy named Michael Scott, wonderful man. Mm-hmm. And what has happened in D.C., especially with an act called the Reproductive Health Care Non-Discrimination Act, which prohibits employers from discriminating against employees based on their so-called reproductive health decisions. That law has passed. That is the law of the land in the District of Columbia, which means that under that law, the way that it's been interpreted by some is that employers, including the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, which is located in the District of Columbia, including the March for Life, which is located in the District of Columbia, they can't take their, supposedly, the purporters of this legislation that is now law, it says you cannot, as an employer, take adverse actions against an employee for their reproductive health care decisions, which is insane, which means the USCCB, they would argue, the proponents of this law, the USCCB or the March for Life would be liable legally for taking adverse action against someone who disagrees with them on life issues. It's insane. That's coming. That's happening. That's not something that may happen. It has happened in the District of Columbia. And it's going to, this isn't just something that is a one-off. This is something that is going to be, you know, the folks that support that position are going to try to replicate it in all 50 states. Those types of things are coming. They also had the Human Rights Act Amendment that was passed that affected religious institutions that have, that are educators at universities in the District of Columbia. And what they can say, what they can do with regard to the so-called LGBT issues and students and life activities they do on college campuses with regard to the lesbian, gay, bi, transgendered community, which again also impacts religious liberty. And so the message coming out here is that this stuff is happening, and we as Catholics, if we're going to live our faith, we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to all aspects of our life, we have to be mission-driven on religious liberty. We have to be engaged in political discussion. We have to be engaged locally because these things are coming. You can look at the Atlanta fire chief, who was essentially moved out because he supported traditional marriage. You know, and so these things are coming, and we're not here to be Chicken Little, but we're here to say, you know, St. John Paul II told us that the final confrontation is coming. He told us a couple decades ago,
right,
for a reason. You know, and so it could be thousands of years, it could be a long time, but we have to love, we have to witness, and we have an obligation to do that. The Lord is asking us to do that. And so we have to say, I will serve. You know, Jose Maria Escrivá said that some of the biggest battles, spiritual downfalls occurred when people would say, you know, not that they would rebel against our Lord, but that they would say, I will not serve. And so,
yeah,
as a Catholic today in 2015, you have to serve by being aware, by being active in your community.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jesus tells us that if you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. I wish you were either hot or cold. Okay, we have some phone calls. We're not going to get to all of them. Can you hang with us for a little bit? Because I want to make sure we have at least two calls right now, more coming in. But let me go to Michelle because she's been holding. Michelle, thanks for your patience. Michelle calling on line 3 from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Go ahead.
Hi. I just have a question for your guest. I work at a Catholic institution here in Grand Rapids, and have been watching what's been going on with the HHS mandate and with the same-sex marriage. And I do feel that one of the reasons why the government feels almost emboldened to go forward with these things is because there hasn't been in my opinion, a united front, specifically between the church itself and these Catholic institutions, like these universities and the hospitals that we have in the country. What can we do to get a more unified front, because it's not there right now? I can honestly say the institution that I work at is not truly united with the church. So how do we do that going forward?
Great question. Any ideas, Lewis?
Yeah, yes, I agree with you completely. I you know, the Affordable Care Act, and especially the what we now have in a lot of healthcare exchanges of public funding of abortion, wouldn't have occurred had there been a united front 6 years ago with regard to that bill going through Congress. So you're completely right. And I think it's a very sensitive subject, Michelle. One of the keys on a very practical level that I've seen firsthand is that there needs to be strong relationships between Catholic hospitals, the local bishop, and other Catholic healthcare professionals. They need to be talking to each other. They need to be having relationships and really having hard conversations. There also needs to be a renewal of Catholic health care. We need to get back to the nuns that were in the hospitals, that were serving the poor, and saying it's not a corporate environment that's supposed to be controlling a Catholic hospital. It's the Catholic identity that's supposed to be driving the Catholic hospital.
Okay, Lewis, hang on, hon. We got to take a break, but we have more calls coming in. Be right back to continue this important conversation. Appreciate your phone calls and your questions. We are going to keep Lewis on with us to continue the conversation, and we will give Joan the day off. She had her birthday yesterday. She'll probably appreciate a little time to rest. Joan Lewis, EWTM Rome Bureau Chief, will be back with us, if not later this week, again, of course, next week. Lewis Brown is an attorney and also right now currently works with Christ Medicus Foundation. The website, by the way, cmfcuro.com. He has a lot of background in dealing with these issues. He's worked for the Maryland Catholic Conference. He's worked in Congress. And we're glad that we have him working for the Catholic Church on these issues as well. Let's go back to the phones. Arlene from Buffalo, your question, dear. Thanks for holding.
Thank you, Teresa, and thank you for all that you do. And thank your person there that's helping, Mr. Lewis, I guess his name is.
Thank you.
Anyway, the reason I'm calling is that I was wondering why Ruth Bader Ginsburg did not recuse herself from voting in this case, since she officiated at a same-sex marriage.
I was wondering that myself. I mean, I just don't understand it. Lewis, you're an attorney. What do you think?
That's a good question. I think that can be somewhat complicated. To my knowledge, and I want to limit it to what I know, to my knowledge, generally speaking, U.S. Supreme Court justices have to recuse themselves. There could be a process that the court has within its within its rules that provide for, you know, some type of process in which the body of justices could act to have someone recused. But that, I'm not aware of that. And so to my knowledge, a justice would have to decide on their own to recuse themselves. And there may not be more than that. And she just, you know, obviously decided that that wasn't an issue that in a case for which she needed to be recused, that she needed to recuse herself, that she could still be a neutral arbiter of the law there. And she obviously acted and cast her vote. So that's what happened. And but I hear you loud and clear. You know, I think that is a valid point.
I mean, if it were the other way around, if there were some of the Supreme Court justices getting involved in something, you know, from a Catholic or, you know, some other area of Christianity that someone thought was blatant and could, you know, affect their decision, you better believe they would have been all over that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, to be fair, I mean, you know, Justice Scalia, who is a, you know, I believe a wonderful man, very faithful Catholic. He's pretty active.
That's true. Yeah, he is.
You know, mm-hmm. with,
probably
with
the most outspoken of the Catholics on the court in terms of getting out there and speaking and whatnot.
He is. And so I would hate to, you know, the other, you know, folks that disagree with church teaching to start arguing that he can't, you know, he even spoke at a men's conference in the Diocese of Arlington within the last year, which is really impressive for a justice to make that kind of time. And so I would hate to see someone who opposes church teaching say, well, he shouldn't be doing that on issues that directly affect the church. And so I do think we have to be careful. But there have been many times in the past, whether it's on controversial issues or not, where, you know, you look and see that justices are making decisions on certain issues, and you kind of, it raises some eyebrows. But I think it's a valid point your listener brought up. So especially near a decision like this.
Yes, yeah, exactly, because it was directly involving the actual what they were taking up at the Supreme Court. Terry from Houston on line six. Hi, Terry. What's your question?
Good morning, Teresa. Yeah, I just want to ask, I think it's Louis.
Yes.
That there are people that has problem with a monument or a flag, you know, because it represents whatever that insults them and impacts them. Okay, but how can he, as a lawyer or group that he knows, can keep the president, Obama, whoever is there later on, from using the White House itself as a physical means of propaganda for a specific agenda, which brings, you know, adds to the way, fuel to the fire of hatred, division, intolerance, and totalitarianism, like he did with, lighting up the White House, in the color of that agenda, of the homosexual agenda, and we all pay for it, and you know, and it's just incredible. I mean, he's just bringing division himself. That, and the second question is, how come Congress doesn't do anything about the justices? Because I think there are moments where when the Congress can take the justices, you know, they indict them because they are not following the law of the land, or they are against the Constitution or something like that. So that's it. I just have those two questions.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. Bye-bye. Louis?
Sure. Two quick thoughts. I think with President Obama, whether it's on religious liberty issues, whether it's on marriage, which I think, you know, if you want to see the impact of one person, when he made the announcement that he supported same-sex marriage, that was when the dam broke on that issue. I mean, everyone that was waiting to come over came over. And so he's had a devastating impact, I think, on the family, on abortion issues, on religious liberty. On the other hand, I think it's important that we not oversimplify the impact of President Obama. If you look at the eulogy that he gave on Friday at the funeral for the senator, Clementa Pinckney, who was killed in the shooting at the church in South Carolina, it was very moving. You know, and it's pretty clear to me, you know, I don't agree with the overwhelming majority of his positions when it comes to church teaching and how that impacts the public square. But it's pretty clear to me that there's a man there that has a relationship with, some type of relationship with our Lord, has a Christian memory, and can speak to issues of healing and hurt in other ways outside of the life marriage context that's valid. And so I think we have to, it's important not to demonize the president, to see that there's layers there. On the other hand, if as concerned as we are about our country, where the court's taking our country, where the president has taken our country in a very negative way, in a lot of different on a lot of different issues, the most important thing for the church faithful out there to do is to be active and to vote. You know, 2016, the presidency in 2016, and the justices that man or woman appoints will have an impact for generations. This court was decided essentially, you know, the makeup of the current court was decided largely by the election in 1980, and the election in 2008 to 2012. You know, we still have justices up here that were appointed by Reagan, by Bush, and now by Obama, and those things matter. And so we can't not vote. We can't not be engaged in local elections. We have to elect state judges that are going to advance a Catholic worldview, advance a view for the common good that's consistent with the teachings of our Lord. And so, again, we can't abdicate our obligations as citizens, and that's the most important thing going forward.
It's Catholic Connection. It is Wednesday morning. 877-573-7825. Chatting with Lewis Brown from Christ Medicus Foundation. And continuing our conversation, we got disconnected there for a second, but he's back with us. Addressing the issue of the White House, I really did think that was an appalling slap in the face to a good number of Americans who don't support this. And we don't see the lighthouse lit up in red, white, and blue lights. We didn't see the lighthouse lit up in honor of, let's say, the colors of a flag of a country that has been attacked maybe through terrorism. So this is something that I think took a lot of us by, it took our breath away, and not a good way. I found it very offensive as someone who pays taxes and tries to be a law-abiding citizen that, okay, if you feel some certain way, Mr. President, about an issue, obviously, that's your prerogative. You claim that this has evolved over time. I don't believe that. I think, personally, the way he was voting, if you look at his record, he always felt this way and came out when it was appropriate. That's just my personal opinion. But I was highly offended as a citizen in the United States because that's my house. That's your house. We paid for it. We're paying for it.
Sure. Yeah, no, and I agree. I think it is offensive. I mean, I think what's even worse is the fact that, you know, it's so many folks out there that are listening. Their social media has been lit up with you know, folks that are still supporting traditional marriage, that oppose same-sex relationships, they oppose same-sex marriage, same-sex relationships as being sinful and wrong and not consistent with the nature that our Lord gave us. We're now being called bigots, you know, when the overwhelming majority probably of our friends, our family, the folks we work with didn't support gay marriage 15 years ago, didn't support it 10 years ago, maybe not even 5 years ago, but now they've decided to jump on the bandwagon, or now they've decided that since that they have changed their mind, we must change our minds as well, and if we don't, we're a bigot. And especially, you know, as someone who is African-American, as someone who went to a historically black law school to be a civil rights attorney, the comparisons between interracial marriage and same-sex marriage are just ridiculous, and they're not rational, and it boggles the mind. And I think the way that this movement has been intolerant, to be honest, I mean, we're not calling those that support same sex marriage, we're not calling them names, and we shouldn't. But the response towards those that hold the position of the church has been deplorable.
Yes.
And nothing's being done to kind of short circuit that on the other side.
And that's okay on their side. They can do that. And we come out, as I said, I'm very proud of our listeners, and I'm very proud of people who are following us and who are commenting on my Facebook page and Ave Maria's page. The people who believe as Catholics and are truly trying to uphold the teaching, I have not heard people attacking the other side with name-calling and hate speech.
And we shouldn't.
That's not what I'm saying. Right. But I'm saying that I think we're really trying to do what our bishops are telling us to do.
We are. Oh, yes, almost definitely. You're so right.
Yeah. All right, Maureen's got a really good question and a point she wants to make about the whole issue of marriage. Maureen from California on line 4, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Good morning, Teresa. It just hit me yesterday when I was thinking about all this. As I talked to a friend of mine or I work at a high school, and there's the hookup culture and their attitude against marriage, and you know, don't want to get married because they don't want divorce and they don't want the tragedy to their children. But yet, as devastating as this decision is from the Supreme Court, it's a little nudge to the beauty of marriage to some degree. It's an angle, but really they're saying how much they want to be together. They want the life commitment. And, you know, I find myself talking to people who meet them where they are and promoting that marriage is that beautiful. You know, it's not something that you don't want to have, and the hookup culture, you know, beats it. It's like, look, people really do want to be married. People really do want life love. And anyway, that just amazed me when I thought there's something here.
Oh, yeah, I definitely think that's a great point, and that gets back to the overall discussion that we've been having on Catholic Radio and EWTN in general, is where do we meet people where we're at, and in terms of bringing up this whole idea of marriage, it does say something, I think, to what people are trying to get at in their life, and this is something maybe that we could bring up in terms of, well, you know, marriage is a beautiful thing, and especially have you ever thought about God's plan for marriage and what that means, and use that. And I think this is what you're saying, Maureen, use that as a starting point. Lewis, any thoughts?
I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe I was reading Archbishop Chaput's statement on the court decision, and he talked about the importance of showing the beauty of marriage. And that's part of that counter witness that is being like Blessed Mother Teresa, is being like the Lord, our divine healer, in our own homes, in our own families, showing the beauty of marriage. Other ways in Catholic healthcare, showing the beauty of the theology of the body, of the theology of the human person, of the sexuality of the human person, and the beauty of that. And so that's that counter witness, but it's very affirming. It's not that we're against something or against the person, which sometimes, you know, oftentimes, unfortunately, going forward, we have to oppose something, but we're if we're ever opposing anything, it's because we're for love. We're for
exactly
freedom.
Exactly.
I think the beauty of marriage, the beauty of Catholic healthcare, is because we're for the human person, and we want to love, but we want to love authentically.
Right, authentic love, and God's plan is the best plan. His plan for marriage, the covenant of marriage, is incredible.
Amen.
And it reflects
right.
The relationship between the Holy Trinity, and that's why it's so sacred to us, one of the many reasons. But, Lewis, thanks for sorting this out with us and sticking with us the entire hour. Really appreciate it. Your website one more time for our listeners?
Sure, cmfcuro.com. That's our wonderful Catholic healthcare ministry that allows Catholics to have an alternative to the Affordable Care Act. That's pro-life. It's healthcare sharing. It's a beautiful thing, sharing your medical costs with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. And to take legislative action on some of these issues that we've discussed, you can go to ChristMedicus.org. That's the umbrella foundation, ChristMedicus.org.
Lewis, thanks. Safe travels home from Colorado to Michigan. Appreciate your work. We will be in touch with further discussion tomorrow. More talk about this whole situation we find ourselves in that encourages us to continuing to preach the truth in love. Thomas More Society and Dr. Pia on a Thursday. Remember, God loves you, and so do we. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.